Well, I'm going to hand it next to Sammy Sheeler. Sammy's a very special guy to me. I've known him for many years. He used to be in a band called the Virginia Squires, and then he, 20 years ago plus, he said, I just got in the Lonesome River Band. And he says, man, they've got good vocals, and I love being in a band with good vocals. And Sammy's not been, he's written instrumentals, but he's not known as an instrumental player. He's known as a great band leader that has a band that has a whopping killer banjo sound on everything. And he won the Steve Martin Prize for Excellence in Banjo and Bluegrass this past year. Very well deserved. Eric Brooks was among the people he decided, made that decision. So
it
must have been okay, you were okay by Earl. What's your, where does Earl fit into your development as a banjo player?
Well, my first memories were seeing the Martha White show on TV when I was very young. You know, 3 to 4 years old, I can remember seeing, my mom said I would watch commercials and I'd watch the Flat Scruggs show, but nothing else. And my grandfather played banjo and kind of played a cross between Charlie Poole style and Earl Scruggs. He kind of evolved more into the Scruggs style later in his life. But so having that influence and having the influence of Earl and also seeing Flatten Scruggs when I was 5 years old.
And you should mention where you grew up.
Yeah, I grew up a little place called Meadows of Dan, Virginia. It's 60 miles southwest of Roanoke. And for anybody that is familiar with Galax, Virginia, where the Big Fiddler's Convention and stuff is, it's about 35 miles east of Galax, right on the Blue Ridge Parkway. And so started going to the Galax Fiddler's Convention when I was 4, and meeting old-time musicians and bluegrass musicians, and then my grandfather being a player, he built me a little banjo out of a combination of pieces of a pressure cooker, a wood rim, and had bolts from the Tractor Supply Company that went around, and then he used clothes hanger wire to make brackets, and then had a tin head on it, and he whittled out a scale neck, and that's what I learned to play the first 4 or 5 songs
on. I bet Frank would love to get his hands on that thing.
It's a very playable banjo, and I still have it. It's only about this long, but he figured out the scale and made it work, you know. And my other grandfather loved the music, but didn't play, and loved to travel. So he told me if I learned to play 2 songs, he'd buy me a full-size banjo. So I learned to play Cripple Creek and Old Joe Clark, and went running across the field to his house, played him those 2 songs, and I dragged the banjo back across the field and got it back to the house. And that's when I started learning how to play.
That's a great story. I love that.
That
does not fit how I learned, by the way. Just
we'll talk about that in a minute.
So why don't you give us an example of what you like to play in a situation like this?
Well, I grew up, like I say, is around as much old-time music as I did bluegrass. And there was a great player from a little place just southwest of me called Round Peak. His name was Fred Cockrum. And Fred Cockrum and Tommy Jarrell were like the old-time gurus of our part of the country. Back in the 60s, you could ride by their house at any given time in the summer, and they'd be sitting on the front porch playing, and they were, as my grandpa said, the hippies would be in the yard hanging out listening, you know? And but they just, people came from all over the country to hear these guys play and to learn from them. And I was fortunate enough at an early age to get to sit at Fred Cockrum's knee and watch him play, you know. And he did everything with downstrokes, claw hammer style, but he had a forward roll to his playing. And so my grandfather wouldn't let me play claw hammer. He wanted me to learn 3 fingers. So I had to kind of adapt what I could see Fred doing to what I did. And I'll do you a tune. This is kind of a version of Cumberland Gap that I learned from listening to him, and it's a 3-part song, which Earl always did it as a 2-part and had different changes to it, but this is kind of the old-time version, the Round Peak version of Cumberland Gap.